Good morning. Grace, mercy, and peace, these are God's gifts to you in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. What do you do when the heart of the text is not the heart of the text? Or I could ask that same question maybe a little differently. What in the world do you do when the heart of the text has no heart? Well, this is the heart of our text. I invite you to look in your insert in front of you or in a Bible. The heart of the text is just that, the heart, the middle verses, the center of the verses. It begins just prior to verse 24. It says, and he said to them, that's Jesus said to them. And then verse 24 through 28. Here it is, people, the heart of the text, the center. Are you ready? Strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and now you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, open to us. Then he will answer you, I do not know where you come from. Then you will begin to say, but we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves are cast out. Let's go back to what I ended with when I read it. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Over the past two Saturdays, we here at Shepherd in the Pines, many here and even more, some school families have come for work days, a little bit of a workout at times, a clean out and a clean up. Time now this morning, based on this heart of the text, for a work day of the heart. Maybe this is what we could call this sermon then, if these verses are our text. How to strive and when to knock, a practical guide on getting into the kingdom. How's that? Jesus said, strive to enter, and many did not enter. How to strive and when to knock, a practical guide on getting into the kingdom. And of course, we should strive to enter. We absolutely should. Casting off baggage, if the narrow door is narrow, then you're not getting through with all that stuff, I suppose. Arriving on time when the door is still open, a pretty good idea. Giving up our works that are evil, repenting, amending, and changing. But even if this is the heart of the text, it turns out it has no heart. Stickers have become quite the thing. Bumper stickers, of course, have been around forever, but stickers, have you seen how many stickers are flying around? Of course, this wintertime when we're on the chairlift, maybe headed up to one of the ski hills, we'll even ask ourselves then, how did they get that sticker there? Go, go, gadget arm, right? There's stickers all up and down the poles. You can find them on the backs of stop signs. We collect stickers in our family, particularly from our travels, and we put them on inside our little camper, our little 13-foot camper, our little scamp. We put them on the inside to remember all the places we've gone, and not just all the places, but sometimes for some of the funny things we've seen. I once saw a sticker on the back of a car, and I said to myself, that is the funniest sticker I've ever seen. And I think somebody found it and maybe gifted it to me, or maybe I gifted it to myself. I can't quite remember, but this is what it said and still says. I love poetry, long walks on the beach, and poking dead things with a stick. I find it funny. I find it funny still to this day. Maybe I should get one for all of you. Maybe it should have been in your bulletins. I love poetry, long walks on the beach, and poking dead things with a stick. Even if this text thus far today is the heart, the center of the scripture, it is the law, and it does little more than poke around at our hearts, takes off maybe flattering covering that we've tried to put on them, and having exposed our hearts for fully what they are, it's just one more dead, stinky thing. I think of a walk the other day with Megan. We're looking at wildflowers in the neighborhood, in people's yards, right? Not maybe wildflowers, but they're landscaping, enjoying it really well. And then we walked by a manhole cover and smelled the stink underneath all of it, right? Wasn't covering it very well. Here in these few verses where Jesus says, strive, make sure you're on time. Make sure you come in, lest the master of the house say, depart from me. Be cast out. As we do that, we find ourselves here in the center of the text, at the heart of the text, simply with the law, and it exposes us for who we are. Should we strive? Certainly we should. Should we be on time? Certainly we should. Should we cast off the works of evil? Certainly we should. May it happen, in fact, this week, today. And yet we're here because it has not happened, decidedly. And our hearts stink something fierce. This whole thing began with a man asking Jesus a question. Will there be few, Jesus? Will there be few? There will be few, right, Jesus? Including me, of course. I detect something smug there. This question from this traveler, somebody in the crowd, unnamed. I'm glad of it. Because I fear that if I were in the Bible, I might be this guy asking a question just like this. And I might be named. Here, at least, he has the grace of not being named. But he asks this question, this smug question. And what does it evoke from Jesus? It evokes the law. Why do I say that his question is smug? Well, I'd say this, first of all, it's deaf concerning the scriptures. And I'm referring to the Old Testament scriptures. It's deaf concerning Genesis, for instance, and God's covenant with Abram, which was one of our texts in past weeks. Do you remember that? Hey, Abram, let's enter into a covenant together. Normally, it's both parties taking on the responsibility of the covenant, but you, Abram, you sleep here while I, God, take on this covenant between me and you. Normally, that covenant is cut between both parties because if one party or the other breaks it, may it happen to the breaker of the covenant, what happened to the dead animal that had been split from tip to tail. That's the strength of a covenant. Not a few dollars, not a reprimand, not a misdemeanor, but your very life. And God says to Abram, you sleep there while we enter into the covenant. Me, God, being solely responsible for it. And God says to Abram, I will be your God. And I will make of you a great people, numerous. So numerous, in fact, it'll be greater than the stars in the sky. It'll be beyond counting, just like the sand in the seashore or the sand in your baby's diaper after being to the seashore. That numerous. That's how numerous the kingdom of God will be. And yet here comes this man, Jesus. Will the kingdom be filled with few people? Certainly me included. He's deaf to the scriptures. And this man in his question reveals a false confession of Jesus and what Jesus would accomplish. So Jesus met his loveless and lifeless confession, his loveless and lifeless smug question. He meets it with law. But maybe we also, in our own way, ask, Lord, will there be few? And maybe in the asking of it, we're not so smug and interested in the few others, but we're saying, Lord, will there be few? And will I be one of them? Now we have a question asked by small people whose hearts have been revealed by the law. People who are broken and they know it. People who are undeserving and they know it. The law has done its work. Sin and death is revealed. And once that's taken place, the law that's at the center of this text, this scripture today, it now can go away. And now our eyes can see what's also here in this text. This law might be the center of the scripture, but here in our text today, it's on the edges of the scripture that we find the gospel. For Jesus himself wears the gospel, I suppose, on the edges, on his sleeves, on his arms, on the arms of this text. And so let's look at that. Look at your text again here today, verse 23. And someone said to him, Lord, will those who are few, saved be few? But now hop towards the end of the text, verse 29. Jesus says this, and people will come from east and west, from north and south, and recline at the table of the Lord. Let me tell you what the Greek actually says there. It's a bit more of a mouthful. Whoever did our translation here in the English thought they'd save us a little bit, but in saving us a little bit, maybe they robbed us a little bit. And Jesus said, people will come from far beyond the rising of the sun to far beyond the setting of the sun. People will come from the place of the north winds to the place of the south winds, and they will recline at the table of God. Few? Oh no, not few. Many. Many will come. People will come from all around, even outside Israel, which was the original promise and covenant with Abram. Abram, I will make of you a great nation that all the peoples of the world will be blessed. And these people come and make note of this. Their strivings have ceased. They have come into the master's house, even to his table. They are gathered. They are welcomed. They are included and fed. They are united. They are made joyful. I think I've talked, maybe not here, but in previous years, that the native language of the Bible is one of joy and not happiness, right? We often aim for happiness, which is sort of a flash in the pan thing. The scriptures often speak to joy, which is more enduring. I think here at the table of Christ, we get both. Joy, which is underneath it all. But have you ever been to a banquet? Have you ever been to a festive banquet? It's joyful and it's happy too. And here we are having been brought to this place. But how can this be? For I know my sin. I know how undeserving I am. For the law has come along and exposed my heart for what it is. Now look at the last verse. And behold, Jesus says, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last, which is a response, or maybe not a response, but connected to the very first verse, the opening of our text, that Jesus is going through towns and villages, teaching and journeying. And where is he journeying to? He's journeying to Jerusalem, where he will wear the gospel on his arms. On the arms of the cross. And then in Jerusalem, 3 days later, he will come out of the grave and say to his disciples then what he has been saying to his disciples every day since, including this day, my peace be with you. Come, enter into the kingdom of the Father. And so, dear church, at the center of the text today is law, but on the arms of the text, on the arms of Jesus, both in his death and resurrection, we find the law. I'm sorry, the gospel, a gospel that he brings to us. Jesus, the first, becomes the last one in your place. And you, the last and the least, become heirs in the kingdom of God. He wears it on his arms on the cross and in the resurrection, and then gives it from his arms to you in your baptism, and then the supper that we are about to receive, a true foretaste of the feast to come. A table we come to even now where we taste a bit of all that is to come, that it may restore joy unto us and even make us happy in the receiving of it. The smug get the law until they are broken. That's for me too. And yet the broken ones, they get the gospel of Jesus. Forgiveness, welcome, a meal, a party. And it's all been set for you, and it's all delivered to you again today through Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Savior. And God's people say, amen. Let us rise as we confess our faith in the words of the Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.